More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Earlier this year, renovations on Boise's historic Essay office began. However, as the construction crew broke ground, they discovered they were digging up more than just dirt. Artifacts were buried around the building, some dating back more than 100 years. So joining us now to talk more about this exciting discovery are archaeologist Chris Shaver and outreach historian Dan Everhart, both with the Idaho State Historic Preservation Office. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you very much.
So, Dan, can we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the Essay building? And I have to say, I know what building we're talking about, and I know exactly where it is. I did not know that was the name of the building until today.
Yeah, well, you're probably not alone in that.
Okay,
the Essay office was constructed by the U.S. Treasury Department between 1870. It was completed in 1871. It opened for business in 1872. It makes it a little over 150 years old and one of the oldest buildings in the city of Boise and in the state as a whole. It is a National Historic Landmark. It's the highest designation that the National Park Service provides based upon its value as a site significant for its association with mining activity across not just Idaho, but the region. So the old Essay office, now home to the Idaho State Historic Preservation Office, is a pretty cool building. If you've never seen it before, on Main Street between 2nd and 3rd on its own square block of landscaped grounds.
So, Chris, were you surprised when you got a call that this crew had found something?
You know, it's funny. Ordinarily, I wouldn't be too much, you know, in terms of stuff is located beneath the ground in places you never imagined. With the work that's been done around the building itself, we had already seen, you know, a small amount of bottles and things like that, but nothing too extensive. It was fairly light. When I got that call, I really thought what I was going to end up doing is driving down there and taking a look at just a few items. And so that was kind of the surprise, is it was much more than that. It actually was, you know, what we would call a deposit, where, you know, the inhabitants who were working at the Essay building at the time were effectively digging a small hole and dumping their trash. And is something like that on those grounds just wasn't as anticipated as perhaps we should have been.
So, Dan, let's go back to when this renovation started. So talk to us about why the renovation and then leading up to you guys calling Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the renovation is about 150 years in the making. The building has seen a couple major renovations in its 150 years. This is the third of those, and you know, buildings age and wear. You have to maintain them. You have to invest in them, and that's what we're doing with a $500,000 grant from the National Park Service Save America's Treasures Program, with an additional $1 million from the state coffers and our permanent building fund, et cetera. So a $1.5 million project to do several things. Most importantly, make the basement watertight. We have landscaped grounds. They've been leaching into the basement for some time. And then all the rest of our, you know, sort of creature comforts that are necessary today, air conditioning systems and electrical and mechanical systems, paint and carpet and hardwood floors, all of those need to be renovated. So that's what we've been doing now for the past 3 months or so. We'll continue for the next month or two as we work for this renovation now, as I say, maybe the third major renovation in the building's history.
So when you all of a sudden find what Chris described, Dan, what was that like? I mean, as Chris said, they kind of dug a hole and were just burying their trash.
It is a little hard to imagine someone burying trash in their front yard. But this building was a little bit on the outskirts of town in 1870, and perhaps there was less you know, the typical place to take your trash would have been the river anyway. So maybe we prefer that they dumped it in the grounds. That practice must not have continued for very long, because we know from the historic record that the site quickly began to be used as a de facto public park. There were no city parks at the time, and the landscape grounds of the assay office became a public park. So you can imagine they weren't really being, you know, would have been very attractive to have, you know, trash heaps on your lawn. So we don't know exactly how long that this practice continued, but we had found things in the past. This was not maybe unexpected, but the quantity of goods was maybe a little bit less anticipated.
So, Chris, tell us about some of the artifacts that were found.
Oh, sure. You know, and you know, in relationship to the work that was performed, you see crucibles and scorifiers and cupules. They are the various tools of the trade that are used for assaying the gold, silver that would come out of the ore samples that were provided to them. So those were really the dominant items we found. And things related to that. So a lot of it was slag and things of that nature. But, you know, I think in, you know, just estimating, we had probably over 200 of those items, which was more than we expected. And then we also had little bits of the residential aspects of the structure, because the assay building itself wasn't just, you know, there for assay. It was also for the family that lived at the top floor. Dan knows more about that part. But what we also found were bits of glass, some china, and then kind of interestingly, we found a button from a Union General Service button, which would be either on the hat or the frock. And that gives us kind of an interesting picture of at least the military was present in the area, and as we knew, but we just didn't think we'd see it necessarily at the assay building. And that button dated from 1855 to 1875. There was also, you know, a bell. There's a small fragment of a, you know, bell, no longer chimes, but given the size of it, it's kind of intriguing. Sometimes you might see one on a door as somebody enters a building. That's kind of what it reminded me of. A couple other items we haven't fully described yet, because we haven't had a chance to go through all the detailed information that was pulled out from the excavations.
Chris, in your opinion and in your, you know, expertise as an archaeologist, what makes these pieces so important?
Well, truthfully, it's the information we get from it. And that's kind of the overriding factor in any archaeological dig. You know, what we're really after is the information we can learn from it. And from these themselves, we're looking at some dates that, at least for these two deposits we found where they were doing that work, they seem to date very easily to the early 1870s, which would have been when the building was first being occupied and used, which is just so wonderful. You know, it isn't mixed with years and years of other artifacts on top of it. So we're getting a glimpse of that initial work that was being done there with the family that would have been there at some time or whoever it was. I'd like to have found some artifacts relating to actual, you know, children being there, you know, their toys, but that just wasn't on the cards, I guess. But we're hoping in other areas to see more of, you know, this early period.
So, Dan, before I let both of you go, do you have plans for these artifacts now that, you know, you have them in hand?
Well, we have plans of two natures. First, we hope to organize what you might consider more of a public archaeology event or dig, maybe even as early as next summer. We know what was found in the place it was found, and we know that there are additional items outside of that trench that was dug. So we're hoping to expand on that, maybe invite the public, invite the press, and make a week of it, maybe even next year. And so that's one thing. And then yes, I think as we move forward with the additional uncovery of more information about these, we hope to put a display back into the office, which again is our office, the State Historic Preservation Office, open to the public, and we hope maybe we can put some public display up that uses these items to talk about the history of the building.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.